Maybe all of our fans have died. Yeah, that's our intro from now on. It's going to get zanier and zanier each time. No, we're not that. We're not that energy. That's not right. Welcome to the Pre-Dead Boys. This is a podcast about the history and culture of death and decomposition. My name is Dorian J. Laffrey. With me, as always, is Dr.
No.
Just lean into it, bud. You're a doctor now. Dr. Maxwell McKenna, Esquire.
I'm a doctor and a lawyer. You know, I used to be stupid. And then I used to be stupid, and I thought that if you were an Esquire, it meant you were just the third.
Oh, yeah.
I was like 3 years ago, and someone was like, no, it means lawyer.
This is literally the first time I've ever found out what it means. This is all news to me.
It means so you're a lawyer.
You. I am stupid. Also, when you said that, I thought you meant like... That was your title. Before you were Dr. Maxwell Esquire, you were Maxwell McKenna Stupid.
Stupid.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Been trying to cut back on caffeine, so naturally I had like a lot of coffee today.
Yeah.
Because as mentioned before, I'm stupid, and I don't learn from anything I do.
Sure.
So I'm feeling a little jittery. But...
You look a little jittery. Like, I see you vibrating a little bit.
Because I haven't done anything to my hair, so I look like I'm frenzied. I'm like a wolf man.
No, your hair looks great. Stop this. Stop putting yourself down.
I don't know. I've been so down on myself already so far. That's no good.
Yeah, that's no good. Maybe we should get into an uplifting topic, like death. And so it'll lift your spirits and you won't be...
I don't want to talk about death, though.
You don't want to talk about death?
You don't want to talk about death on our podcast about death?
Hold on. This may be the best segue I think we've ever done.
Oh, all right. I'll be patient.
You don't want to talk about death.
No, I don't want to talk about death. I wonder how we can talk about death, but it's like kind of fake, you know?
Ooh, okay. Kind of play a trick on our listeners,
kind
maybe?
Kind of playing a little prank. Get a little Ashton Kutcher punked in here. Dorian, today, let's talk about pseudocide.
Pseudocide?
Pseudocide. Not
that band.
Not mid 2000s?
I don't know.
When was that? Not Broken Side.
Yeah.
Not Broken Side is what we're trying to get at. Pseudocide.
Okay.
Pseudocide? That's faking your own death.
Oh. Okay.
So before we fake our respective deaths, let's celebrate with a fresh, cool LaCroix and the Pre-Dead Boys. Crack into the topic moment.
I'm gonna kill this LaCroix is what I'm gonna do. Not fake.
Oh, that's fine. I bought the individual can, which I don't think you're supposed to sell them individually, but the store I was at was. And it said one can for $1. And then she rang it in and it just came up as 10 cents.
Oh.
And she was like, I think my machine's scanning it in wrong. And I was like, yeah, it said it was $1 back there. And then we kind of exchanged like a knowing gaze for a second. And she was like, you can't get any more of this for this cheap.
She cut you off.
Yeah, because I was about to ask, like, can I go get more?
She saw it in your eyes.
Yeah.
You lit up like, oh.
And she shut that down real quick. So a cool thing about doing a podcast for over a year is that you kind of start to forget what you've covered in the past. You get a little mixed up. So I realized that the topic of this might sound kind of similar to our episode on death hoaxes, but we'll diverge. In that episode, we focused a lot about, you know, those folks in India whose families had them quote-unquote killed off by bribing someone in the government, you know, we talked about Avril Lavigne, who's making a comeback.
Is she?
You see that new album she's got out?
No, it's probably not good, though.
It's not been super well received.
Uh-oh.
But we also talked about Andrew WK and other folks who have been the subject of faked death conspiracy theories. But today, we're specifically going to be talking about folks who wanted to be declared dead. People who, for one reason or another, sought some way to completely drop off the map. So anyway, let's get into the technicals of it before we get into some storytelling. We're diverting a bit from our usual formula of working chronologically, because, like, can you imagine how easy it would have been to fake your own death in old-timey days?
I guess. I don't know.
As people just never traveled.
Yeah, you don't have the internet and ways to keep tabs on people like you do today. It's kind of like, are they there? Nope. Must be dead.
Guess a wolf got him.
Yep.
You really would have just had to go to, like, the next village over, because no one traveled.
Right.
And people would have been like, oh, I guess Max just got eaten by a wolf. I don't know. That's guess it. He's dead. They're just really stupid back then. Just getting eaten by wolves all the time. It's like, just go buy a gun, dummies.
Yeah. We just think it's always been really easy because we live in America and it's really easy to get a gun. It's like, yeah, just get one. Just buy one.
Wander up and buy a gun, medieval time people.
Hey, idiot, walk over to Walmart, buy a gun, and stop getting killed by the plague.
Stop getting killed by wolves. Yeah. Shoot the plague.
Shoot the plague.
You can shoot the plague. Don't shoot wolves, though. They're beautiful animals.
Yes, they are.
And we jest. So, Dorian, let's say that you just up high, down low, too slow the president, and now the Secret Service is after you. You're in trouble. And now you have to fake your own death. So what are you going to do? What would be your kind of go-to, off-the-cuff death fake plan?
I would destroy my car. I would drive it. I would, like, throw a brick on the... Well, no. No, you can't throw a brick on it.
Your Ferris Bueller, your car?
Yeah. Yeah, because they see a destroyed car and, well, no, they need a body. Okay. I dig up a body.
Okay.
That looks like me.
Okay.
But it's got to be a fresh body. Okay, so I gotta break into a morgue. I gotta break into a morgue.
Okay.
And steal a body that looks like me. I gotta go through all the bodies. Yeah, but then they're gonna catch me. They're gonna know.
They're probably gonna be old too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this isn't as simple as you might think.
Wait.
Maybe it will be. Let's see.
I know what I'm gonna do.
Uh huh.
I'm gonna die.
Okay.
I'll just legit die.
Okay.
And then no one will be able to debunk that. Gotcha, Max, you dumb idiot.
So the best way to fake your own death is to just do it for real.
DIY. God damn it. This is like the second or third time that I've made a joke about DIY death. And that's a joke about suicide. And I need to stop it because suicide is very uncool. We can be irreverent, but... All right, anyway, yeah. Okay, I don't know how to fake my own death. Teach me. Teach me your ways, Max.
Yeah, it's tricky. A lot of people might think that, you know, burning might be a good way to do it.
Yeah.
But that's going to leave behind a skeleton. So if you're not there, you got to sort that out. Drowning is also a pretty popular, like, quick go-to one.
Mm-hmm.
But human bodies are naturally pretty buoyant. So if you try to fake drowning anywhere besides deep, remote ocean, authorities are going to be pretty suspicious that they're unable to find a body.
He drowned in the Olentangy River.
Like the stupid 7-foot deep river.
There's no one can find him anywhere.
So we will get to the best way to do it in a second. But first, let's talk about why people fake their own death. And honestly, I am putting this at the front of our discussion because it is a little boring. And you know exactly the reasons why people fake their death. So in order to make it a little more interesting, let's have an interesting person explain it. Here's a clip from an interview of a man named Frank Ahern.
In Times Square, Frank Ahern is just a face in the crowd. Now you see him, now you don't.
If it was a man, it was usually a financial situation. You know, I've come into some money, I want to start over, I don't want nobody to find me, or I've lost everything, I got a little walk-away money, I don't want anybody to find me, I hate my past life. With women, it was, you know, typically they were in a dangerous situation.
Ahern makes people disappear. For a fee, he'll get them off the grid, say, to New Zealand.
It's English-speaking. It's a place you can get lost in big cities like Auckland, and you can acclimate relatively easy.
Freedom means so much to Ahern, he's printed it on his flesh.
So what does that mean?
It means freedom, man. It's just what I believe in, I guess.
But Ahern's work means the closer you come, the further he retreats.
I'm not a social butterfly to keep people
at arm's length.
At arm's length, yeah.
Even though he's written the book on going underground, there's something he can't hide.
I'm very skeptical of people when I meet them, or I guess they gotta earn my trust or my friendship. You know, I'm so used to dealing with the dirt of people's lives, either finding them or disappearing them, that I don't want to make these bonds with people. I don't have time.
It's a tattoo of freedom.
It's just what I believe in, I guess.
Freedom.
That's so incredible.
Yeah. Good dude. Yeah, so most of the reasons people want to disappear are financial or under threats of violence. Kind of, you know, run-of-the-mill stuff.
Yeah.
For disappearing, you know. But Frank Ahern is a professional disappearer somehow. You give him money, and he'll find a way to get you off the grid. And, as he says, it's usually some pretty basic reasons. So he's written quite a few books about this, actually. And here's a bit from one of his books.
My clients range from the average person who is the victim of a stalker to the super wealthy looking to protect him or herself against abduction for profit. Most people who need to disappear never thought it would happen to them. They woke up one morning and something catastrophic had happened. It is not so much the type of person, but more the reasons why people disappear. It always comes down to money, violence, or information. The money people came into money and want a new life somewhere private. Or they lost everything but have some seed money left and want to reboot life in a far-off place. The violence ranges from stalking victims and abused spouses to finance people who got involved with the wrong kind. The information clients could be people who have done something really stupid that the whole world knows about online. They want to disappear and start over where no one knows them.
Yeah, so you know, basically all the normal reasons you would want to disappear.
Yep.
But, you know, it does seem a little extreme. I think not being in this circumstance, it's difficult to understand wanting to just vanish forever. But, as we're about to learn, it does take an extreme person to pull this off. Because, ultimately, it feels like kind of a sociopathic thing to do. Not only do you have to put your loved ones through the same amount of stress as if you actually died, you have to remain alive and know the pain you're causing your loved ones to.
Hmm.
You know? You're putting them through a lot.
Yeah, you gotta be kind of a maniac.
Yeah. So now that we've cleared the obvious stuff out of the way, let's get to the juicy bits. The
Ooh,
good
yeah.
stuff. The real how-to of how to fake your own death.
That's why I'm here.
And also, I want to be very clear again. It is not illegal to do this. Although, you know, similar to cannibalism, a lot of stuff surrounding faking your own death is extremely illegal. Getting fraudulent papers, stealing a body, stuff like that. You can't do that.
Right.
There is nothing illegal about faking your own death or disappearance. So when I asked you what you would do to fake your death, your thoughts were to, like, you know, maybe crash your car somewhere or have some sort of fire incinerate your body. Like I said, that's maybe not the worst thing, you know, assuming a fire burned for long enough, you would just have a skeleton. But it's definitely not the best thing to do. I mentioned this before. What you definitely don't want to do is fake your death by jumping off a bridge or drowning in a body of water. No matter what you quote-unquote drown in, it's going to be relatively easy to find, or in your case, not find a body. If you go into a river, they're shallow and usually pretty rough. So even when people think about being swept downstream, a corpse would end up stuck somewhere in like a tree branch or something like that, or washed ashore fairly close by. If you choose to go out in the ocean, bodies tend to float due to the fat that we all have. And, you know, sharks like also aren't that common. don't know why people think that, like, the second you fall off a boat, a bunch of sharks come up and eat you, but that's not really the case.
They just disintegrate you instantly.
A lot of people think that, you know, when you die in open water, that means your body just sinks to the very bottom of the ocean, but it's just not true.
Right.
It's not instant.
Sure.
So as far as actually good ways to fake your own death, I figured we should go, again, straight to the source and read the story of someone who has actually done it. These next few bits are going to be from writer Elizabeth Greenwood, who wrote a fantastic book titled Playing Dead, A Journey Through the World of Death Fraud. And she actually, over the course of writing the book, she actually ended up staging her own death, which is really interesting. So here's her advice.
I spoke to the investigators about what kind of accident you should avoid, and they told me not water, and that the kind of accidents that seem believable are the open-ended scenarios. For example, people go hiking and disappear off trails all the time, and their bodies are never found, and what happened to them is left very open-ended. So it's something that's a little less clear-cut than toppling overboard and drowning, where there is only a singular answer to what could happen to you. You want something a little more nuanced, a situation where there is more than one answer.
So as Greenwood says, if you're going to fake your own death, you want to do it in a way that's open-ended. You know, people disappear when hiking all the time. Have you seen that, the Grand Canyon death map?
No.
It's really cool. It tracks all of the deaths and disappearances that have happened at the Grand Canyon. And it's mind-blowing. Like, there's tons of just spots all over this map. And it will list the cause of death or the presumed cause of death. And a lot of it's just, like, heat exhaustion and they didn't know where that person ended up.
Huh. That's a really good resource to have, though, if you're exploring that area. To just be mindful of, hey...
Oh, where the really dangerous places are?
Yeah, and especially if there's a trend like, hey, 17 people have died of heat exhaustion in this spot. You know, maybe that's because, you know, if you're planning a hike through that area, maybe bring a little extra water.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's handy.
Yeah, it's really neat and helpful.
Yep.
So unlike open ocean with sharks, stuff on land is actually going to eat you a lot faster. If you think about, especially in large parks, mountain lions are really good at eating things really quickly.
Mm.
And they're vicious too.
Bad kitty.
Also, your body's probably going to be picked apart by bugs, raccoons, general kind of vermin.
Right.
Means a body is going to disappear a lot quicker on land than it will in the water. And, barring having your body eaten by animals while walking around in a park, maybe investigators think you just fell down somewhere. You know? There's a lot of parts of the Grand Canyon that are just inaccessible.
Lots of places where you could have fallen. And can't get up.
Tons of that. Like, did you ever see 127 Hours?
No. Where James Franco saws his own freaking arm off?
Yeah. Yeah, I never
saw
it either.
That's all I know about it.
I never saw it either. But, you know, that dude was just in a crevice, and he would have just been stuck down there forever if he wanted to cut his own arm off.
Right. Was that, that wasn't John Krakauer, was it? Who was it?
I have no idea. I've never seen it. Oh, boy. In a cinephile podcast over here.
Oh, yeah, we'll edit that out. That was Aaron Ralston, wasn't it?
Yes.
Haha, nice.
I'm really impressed with you for knowing that. Really smart.
Thank you. I'm a doctor.
I don't know anything about movies. I'm glad I have a really intelligent co-host who does.
I'm a smart boy. I'm a good boy.
So, you know, if you're going to fake your own death, a pretty good option is to tell folks that you're going hiking in, like, the Grand Canyon or Yosemite, and then just ghost, especially if you don't leave behind a map of where you're hiking, because then it's going to be really tough to find a body, and they're not just able to retrace your steps. For that reason, if you really do want to fake your death, it's a pretty good idea to do it in an expansive national park of some sort. And just to add to the list of, like, capital B bad things that can happen to you while you're hiking... You know, snake bites, animal attacks, falls.
Wait, you can get snake bites in the wilderness?
Where do you think snakes live?
Well, I just figured you'd have to go to a piercer to get that sort of thing done.
wah, wah, wah. You better put the sad trombone noise in there.
I will. I'm sorry.
That's really good. Actually, I like that. So in addition to all those things, you could add the best possible situation of this list, serial killer.
Ooh.
We're going to touch on a case in a bit of someone who that actually happened to, but that is kind of the best case scenario if you're trying to fake your own death. To get a serial killer to claim to have done it.
That's... What?
Yeah, yeah, hold
How
on.
How do you even do that?
We'll talk about it.
Okay, all right.
So if you can't get to a national park, though, getting to the Philippines is probably your next best bet. That's what Greenwood did when she had to fake her own death.
I wanted to see how far I could get short of actually trying to commit fraud. I went to the Philippines because it kept coming up since the beginning of my reporting as the place where a lot of insurance fraud attempts come from. It's a place with a very robust infrastructure for supporting these frauds in the form of black market morgues. You can find a body to cremate and pass off as your own. They sell full-on death kits. Death kits are basically everything you need to fake your death. Your death certificate, your statements from witnesses who saw your accident, the fake autopsy report. I found two incredible local guys there who helped me obtain my own death certificate from a mole they have working inside one of the government agencies. It was based on a false police report with fake witness names, making fake witness statements detailing my traffic accident. That's how I did it, but I never filed a report with the US Embassy to make it official. That would have cost $500, probably cheaper if I'd given them more advance notice. It was much easier than I thought it would be.
Yeah, so what Elizabeth Greenwood did is she coughed up some money and was able to have herself declared dead as a result of a car crash in the Philippines. There were sworn witness statements, a coroner's report, really everything you would want. The only thing she didn't officially do was deliver the notarized packet to the U.S. Embassy, which would have made her dead in the United States as well.
Hmm, okay.
So she is currently dead in the Philippines, which is goofy.
Oh, wow, legally.
Yeah.
Huh.
So, you know, obviously, once you fake your death, you have to keep living. Because that's the point, you didn't actually die.
Right.
One of the biggest mistakes people make after faking their own death is being unable to cut ties to their past. Faking your own death is kind of like going into witness protection. You have to completely eradicate everything that connects you to your past life. Social media especially. But it has to be, like, total. Who's a band you really want to plug right now?
I've been listening to a lot of Incendiary, a New York hardcore band.
Sure.
Really love them.
Yeah. They're
really good. So I can see them after I fake my own death, right?
No.
What?
That's exactly why. So let's say you fake your death because you just, like, pantsed the president or something. And you get away with faking your death. You still want to listen to the new Incendiary album, so you create a fake Twitter account to follow them. If you use an even remotely recognizable picture of yourself in a new social media profile, I could see you retweeting an Incendiary tweet or liking it or something and be like, wait, that kind of looks like my old friend Dorian.
Nope.
And then, you know, I could rat you out.
Nope.
Or if you go to a show that they're playing and accidentally end up in a photo which someone stumbles across and sees, it wouldn't be that hard to be like, wait, that looks a lot like my old co-host Dorian, who really liked New York hardcore.
Nope.
And is supposed to have died.
It's not me.
You have to completely, it's ridiculous. You have to develop a completely different set of interests and make yourself a completely new person. So luckily, you know, especially for you, you do still get to be around culture.
Oh, thank God.
That's because it's a pretty terrible idea to try and hide out in a remote area after you fake your death. You definitely want to go to a city. In a remote area, people move around a lot less. Someone moving into a town of 50 people is going to be a lot more noticeable. Cities, however, tend to have a much larger itinerant population, and it's easier to blend in. Also, a nice thing, cities have a lot more technology. And contrary to popular belief, technology can be one of your best friends if you're trying to disappear. Here's another quote from Frank Ahern.
Technology has given us the ability to not be physically connected to anything. You can bank online, you can pay online and order things online. You don't have to physically go anywhere. Technology has really made it so we can live virtual. You can open up a corporation. You can rent an apartment through a corporation. You can sublet an apartment. You can get an apartment where utilities are paid. The only problem that you have is, how do you earn a living? That's always the first and biggest hurdle. You can't be Joe the bus driver in Miami and be Joe the bus driver in Chicago.
Yeah, so while technology does help you, you know, get things without papers, because a lot of things are easier to do online, it is tough to make a living. You couldn't continue to be a graphic artist, for example.
Ah, bummer.
Yeah. You'd have to develop a completely new skill set, so you'd have to, like, take a bunch of, like, lynda.com courses or something.
Oh, well, I'll just go to the Columbus Public Libraries, where Lynda is now a free service for all library card holders.
Hey, thanks, man. We do that.
Yeah, dude, Columbus's libraries fucking rock.
Yeah, they let me work there, so they gotta be cool. So that brings us back to, you know, completely cutting out your prior life if you want to fake your own death. I can't emphasize this enough. You have to cut out everything. Your job, your interests. You have to do almost everything the opposite in your new life. You can't even vacation in the same spots. If I faked my death, I couldn't be like, I'm going to go to San Diego. I'm going to go to a baseball game, you know? That's actually how a dude named Harry Gordon got himself busted. He was just on vacation.
Max, let me tell you, I hate when I bust my Harry Gordon. You know what I'm saying? I don't.
What's the Urban Dictionary definition for a Harry Gordon? Oh, no, I got it. You know what a Harry Gordon is?
What is it?
That's the name of that alien who ate a bunch of cats. That's an Alf joke. Alf was Harry, and his real name was Gordon Shumway.
Wow. That was a remarkably well-constructed joke. That might go over the heads of some of our listeners. Maybe some of them will get it, but that is a culturally dense T.S. Eliot-level joke. You need to be in the know of so many things to get that.
I love my family.
Yeah.
But they are fucking freaks. And we had a phase as a family where we were collectively into Alf in, like, 2005. It was insane.
Wow. That is bizarre.
The weirdest thing I've ever encountered.
That's very strange. Well, you turned out pretty good.
I turned out all right.
You're weird. That's okay. This is why we're friends. It's because we're both weird, so can't judge you too much there.
Harry Gordon was an Australian guy who faked his own death, and because he's just kind of a charismatic dude, he got caught, as I mentioned, but then he ended up just writing a book about it. So we do have a really nice first-hand account of someone who faked their own death. So here's his story in his own words.
The sea was my escape route, a boating accident my cover. One winter's evening, my speedboat sidled into mangroves along the Corua estuary near Port Stevens in New South Wales. I left my wallet, my mobile phone, and some empty champagne bottles in the boat, then used a small dinghy to putter off into the night. It was a bit dicey. Eventually I made it back to shore, where I had a van with clothing and $100,000 in cash parked near my holiday home. Right from the moment I was doing it, I thought, this is a silly thing to do, this is certainly going to end in tears. But it felt quite good. The first thing, the most profound relief, was to be free of the mobile phone. I started to think about what I was going to do, and how I was going to do it. Wait, you said this dude's Australian?
Yeah.
All right, let me roll that back. The sea was my escape route, a boating accident my cover. One winter's evening, my speedboat sidled into mangroves along the Karawa Estuary. Estuary. You know, we'll keep take one. That's okay.
Chris, stick with that one?
Yeah.
So, to Gordon's credit, he started living again almost right off the bat, and he was living big, too.
Brr.
When you start with like $100,000 in cash tucked in a van, that's pretty rock star, man.
Wow.
He started traveling a lot because obviously he knew he needed to get out of Wales. He actually began dating a woman who he had been having an affair with prior to faking his own death. So he told her about it. He told her that he was faking his death.
That was a bold move.
Yeah, they just moved to England.
Wow.
But eventually, that woman left him, and he ended up moving back to New Zealand. There, he started dating another woman. And
yikes, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah, he's really got to cut ties with other people. he couldn't not do that.
Yeah.
But bear in mind, the whole time he's doing this, he's doing everything else really smart. To the extent where he's keeping tabs on his old family and making sure to avoid places that they frequently go. Or if, you know, someone he knew moves, he knows he can't go to that town anymore. If someone he knew were to go on a business trip to the city he lived in, he would leave town for 2 weeks to ensure that they wouldn't see him. However, you remember that new girlfriend I mentioned?
Right.
That's what actually ended up doing him in. Congratulations to them. They got engaged.
Okay. Nice.
Nice. And they went on vacation to celebrate. As we're about to read in this Australian newspaper article, that's where he had a rather unfortunate run-in.
7 years ago. No, I'm just kidding.
Waikato businessman.
Waikato.
7 years ago, Waikato businessman Harry Gordon faked his death, shed all his problems, and started a new life. The scam might have worked if he hadn't fallen in love along the way. The trouble with Harry Gordon's carefully constructed new life was that it kept bumping into his old one. Strolling happily along the walking track at Mount Maunganui in Tauranga in May 2005, the one-time millionaire ran smack-bang into his older brother, Michael. Michael, as Harry well knew, believed he had drowned in a boating accident north of Sydney 5 years earlier. Worse, Harry was walking hand-in-hand with the woman who had just agreed to marry him, Auckland's social worker, Christine Newsom. Meanwhile, Michael had been helping Sheila, Harry's real wife back in Sydney, get over her supposed grief. The two men passed each other, and then Michael doubled back to confront his brother's ghost. "Hello," he said. "Is that really you?" Harry, mindful of the woman at his side, didn't blink. "Of course," he said easily, "but look, it's not convenient to talk now. I'll call you in a few days." A few steps on, he explained to Christine, "That was just an old friend."
Yeah, real bummer.
Piece of shit.
You know, maybe, I don't know, maybe he was trying to pass it off like a witness protection thing or something like that.
Maybe.
But I think this dude was kind of just a sleazebag.
Yeah, he's probably used to lying at this point, so yeah. Sure. Yeah, witness protection. Why not tell this woman whatever will make her feel comfortable?
Yeah. But this mountain run-in was actually where Harry's plan immediately began to unravel. Because his brother obviously reported this to the police, and Harry was like, "I gotta leave the country." And he tried to leave, and the cops got him on his way out of the country. Although, because he was, you know, rich, he only ended up spending like a year in prison. So, I don't know what happened with his fiance and ex-wife, I guess. Widow? Fake widow?
Good lord. What a mess.
Yeah, real grimy.
Yeah.
But what happens when you get a get-out-of-your-disappearance-free card? When the universe hands you the most convenient excuse of all time. You remember how I mentioned the serial killer angle earlier?
Yes.
Well, now is when that comes in. Let's talk about the story of Petra Pasitka.
Petra Pasitka disappeared from the city of Braunschweig, Germany, in 1984. The then 24-year-old student was last seen heading out of the dentist's office on July 26th. She'd planned to take the bus to her parents' home, but never arrived. Authorities implemented a manhunt that included an appeal on a German television show like Unsolved Mysteries, but no sign of Pasitka turned up. German police developed a reason to believe that the suspect in the death of a 14-year-old girl near the bus stop where Pasitka had gone might be connected to Pasitka's disappearance. That suspect, a 19-year-old named only as Gunter K., was arrested in the death of the teenage girl. He confessed to her murder. Later in 1987, he reportedly confessed to killing Pasitka as well. 2 years later, Petra Pasitka was officially declared dead.
Yeah, that's super convenient.
Wow.
To just have, like, a serial killer be like, oh yeah, I killed her. Just trying to get notoriety for himself or something like that.
Right. When that person is actually trying to be declared dead.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because, you know, it was open for at least 2 years before the cops were like, all right, I guess this Gunther guy did it. So let's
And he's like, yeah, I did. And Petra's like, yup.
Yep.
Yep, he killed me.
Now, I do really briefly have to touch on the fact that this appearance on the German Unsolved Mysteries program resulted in maybe the best age progression photo of all time. Look at this.
Oh, they did a very bad job.
Like, I don't really understand what she's standing on.
It's really weird. It looks like they...
She's like on a roof.
They super... Yeah. Well, yeah. That's wild. I didn't even think of that. Okay. So she's standing on a roof, and it looks like they just kind of cut her face out and put it on an older woman, maybe? This is a bad job. You did a bad job.
It's not even like they used a computer. They just physically took a photo of her and cut it out with scissors and glued it with a glue stick onto another photo of a woman who was standing on a rooftop.
This is bizarre.
It's very confusing. But I don't know. Anyway, the nice thing Pasitka had going for her was that a convicted murderer claimed to have killed her. This means police no longer believed they would easily find a body, and Pasitka was declared legally dead. Not unsolved or a cold case, which is what usually happens in these, but dead, sealed. She disappeared in 1984. But then, in 2015, things took a turn.
In September 2015, police were investigating a burglary in a Dusseldorf flat belonging to a 55-year-old woman going by Mrs. Schneider. However, when authorities requested Mrs. Schneider's identification, she could not provide it. Eventually, Mrs. Schneider told authorities who she really was and used an old ID card to prove it. Somehow, she had spent the last 31 years living in a few cities in Germany without a social security card, passport, or even a bank account. She reportedly paid all of her bills in cash and made money via under-the-table means. Pasitka never needed false papers to show anyone, so authorities said that they really cannot hold her criminally liable for the disappearance. Pasitka had reportedly chosen to stay silent on why she staged her disappearance, but has stated that she wants nothing to do with her family, and has no desire to contact the public. Yeah, fuck y'all. I don't want to talk to you.
Yeah, she just ghosted everybody. And the really, as you look more and more into her case, she's just like, yeah, I thought I told people when I left, and then I just never saw the news. So I don't know.
That doesn't add up.
It doesn't add up at all.
Yeah,
like a fake
I just
name.
Accidentally disappeared for 31 years and accidentally changed my name and hid my own identity in the process.
Yeah, she was like, I just wanted a fresh start. It's so goofy.
Weird. But there's some part of the story that's not being told, I think.
Yeah. But again, you know, it's not illegal to fake your own death.
Or,
okay. I guess, disappearance in this case. You know, she never falsified any papers, so they couldn't get her for fraud or anything.
Yeah, she just didn't have them.
Yeah. So there's a few other good stories as well I want to touch on before we close up. One guy, Alfred Rouse, was a British guy who, you know, thought about doing what you wanted to do earlier. He wanted to disappear. So he was like, well, maybe I'll just get a body and set it in my car, set the car on fire.
Mm-hmm. That's a great plan. What a great idea that man had.
Good idea. Unfortunately, he did also commit a murder in doing that.
Oh.
Because he didn't go dig someone up. He, like, found a hitchhiker, drugged the hitchhiker, put the hitchhiker in his car, and then set his own car on fire, thus passing himself off as the man who died in the car fire.
Oh my god.
Now, Alfred Rouse does look exactly like the type of dude that would do this. If you want to take a look at his photo really quick.
Ooh, with a little Hitler mustache and demonically large eyes.
Yeah, he's got real creepy eyes. And this was the 1930s, so he didn't have like a Hitler mustache yet.
Oh, this was just the Oxford Standard.
I don't know. But yeah, he ended up being hanged for his crimes.
That's probably good.
Probably a good idea, yeah.
He's a murderer.
There was another story I read about where a dude tried to do the same thing, like recently. He went down to Texas and set his car on fire with a body inside of it. But the coroner was like sifting through the bones after the accident, like they, you know, have to do.
Yeah.
And he was like, these teeth don't look like the teeth of like a 30-year-old dude. They look super worn down and in really bad shape. So he had the bones tested, and it was like the skeleton of an 80-year-old Mexican woman that he had stolen.
Oh.
And burned.
But this woman was already dead.
Yeah, she was dead.
Okay. I do have a little bit less of a problem with desecrating a corpse than murdering someone. But, you know, not by a whole big old margin.
Still not a great way to fake your death.
No.
Finally, as a cap on folks who couldn't completely cut out their old lives, we're going to end with a British man, John Darwin, who opted to just do the exact opposite of changing your life. He just lived next door to his wife and family after he faked his death. His wife was in on it. But he just, like, lived next door to him. And he did it pretty well. He opted to disguise himself, as you can see here in these photos. That's him after his disappearance, and then him while he was in hiding. So he grew like a big beard and lost a bunch of weight, put some glasses on. But he was still living next door to his family. His story is a little crazy. Let me read that for us.
The Darwin family was well off, but had always had trouble with debts looming in the background. Too proud to file for bankruptcy, and too greedy, John Darwin hatched the plan to fake his death and claim life insurance money to pay off the debts. At 8:30 a.m. on March 21st, 2002, in conditions which rescuers later described as, quote, smooth as a mill pond, Darwin paddled into the North Sea in his distinctive red canoe, never to be seen again, it seemed. His wife, Anne Darwin, reported him missing at 9:30 p.m. An air sea rescue was launched, but was called off after 16 hours. Coast Guards said Darwin's fate was a complete mystery. Soon after, however, John Darwin did return to the marital home, according to Mrs. Darwin's own account. She claimed he turned up on the doorstep looking disheveled. After a few weeks, Darwin began going out for walks with a woolly hat, a beard, and a fake limp to disguise his identity. If casual visitors called at the house, he would pose as Tom, the handyman, wearing a cheap wig and glasses. When family members came to visit, he would disappear through a coffin-shaped doorway hidden behind a wardrobe in his bedroom, which led to one of the apartments in the adjacent property, which the Darwins owned. He was allegedly hiding in the apartment when his son stayed overnight.
This is bonkers. This guy is brazen.
This is some solid snake level stealth here. This is incredible.
But just him, like, just walking around just his old house, like, in a corny disguise.
Right.
Is so wild.
Just short of, like, the Groucho glasses and mustache, like,
yeah.
Really bad fake.
He's got, like, an old Santa beard.
Yeah.
And it's, like, I don't know, it's crazy, because he's, like, a healthy looking dude. So to try and pose as, like, an old guy, it's a goofy play.
Yeah, he looks good. Like, pre-beard. He looks pretty, you know.
He looks like a serial killer post-beard.
Yeah, he looks like a wizard, maybe.
Yeah.
Like a well-meaning wizard.
He looks like a dude who would disappear behind a coffin-shaped portico to hide in an apartment after faking his own death. He looks exactly like he should look.
Yeah.
But, you know, John Darwin did get caught eventually. But, you know, there are stories about him actually even walking past his own dad with the fake limp. So his disguise was apparently pretty good. But he got caught in maybe the dumbest possible way.
Eventually, Darwin was caught when he became so brazen that he applied for credit cards in his own name, using the address of his apartment hideaway. Darwin tried to use amnesia as a defense, but was finally forced to confess in 2007 when a photograph emerged on the internet of him posing with his wife in Panama in 2006, proving his amnesia was nothing more than another lie.
Yeah, real big dummy, this guy.
He got real high on himself, like, man, this is easy.
I'm gonna get a credit card.
Can't believe I didn't fake my own death earlier. And debt, now that we're done with debt, I'll just go ahead and get some credit cards.
Yeah. It's really returning to his own vomit there.
Yeah.
Eventually, like, he got busted for the credit card thing. And so he just, like, wandered into a police station and was like, hey, I think I'm a missing person. I've got amnesia. Like, the most soap opera thing you could possibly do.
For sure.
And then the authorities, like, the cops raided his home and found a camera, like a digital camera, that just had photos of him and his wife on vacation last year. So he clearly, like, was very aware of what he was doing.
Wait, how did the photo get on the internet? Is he really that bold that he posted it himself? Or that his wife did, maybe? Like, they're just like, this... No one will find this, surely.
It was, like, just straight up in a photo bucket account.
God. It's not even... That's not even private, is it? It's just public.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, you have to be so egomaniacal to think you could maintain a lie for this long that eventually it just kind of bubbles over and you're like, well, I can't get caught for anything, you know?
Yeah. Dude just got really confident looking like a wizard and probably played too many Final Fantasy games thinking amnesia was just an explanation for everything.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely not what you want to do if you're trying to fake your own death. So, I don't know. Dorian, you feel like you got a better idea of what you should do now?
I do. I still have to work on the plan, but you have to start with things not to do. And you don't, you know, you don't want to get too confident.
Define it by the negatives.
It seems like keeping a really low profile, like Petra did, is pretty smart.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, at the end of the day, hopefully I don't have to fake my own death. It's kind of scary that some people have to because, you know, they're under threat of violence or something like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Like predatory lending.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I'll wait until I have a good reason to fake my own death. But mostly, I'm just going to threaten to fake my own death so that when I do eventually die, people come up with all kinds of conspiracy theories on what happened to us. People will think that, oh, Max probably murdered Dorian. There will be a whole website devoted to that. No. There will be... You'll be innocent. Don't worry.
Okay, cool. Okay.
And just a lot of people will think I faked my own death. But what's going to happen? You know what's going to happen, Max?
What?
Those listens on this podcast are going to go through the roof. We're going to
be
so
you just
famous.
Buying cell phones.
So famous at that point.
It's a pretty good plot.
Yeah.
You know, on an unrelated note, you got anything going on tonight? Because I was thinking maybe we could head out. You hear about that new Dark Sky Park that opened out in Hocking Hills?
Dark Sky Park? No, what is that?
Yeah, it's like one of those like natural observatories where it's just a big open park, but there's no like lights or cameras that are allowed in like a 5-mile radius or something. You want to head out there tonight?
We might have to talk about that.
Okay, we'll chat about it.
We'll chat about it.
Yeah.
I have some reservations.
Just try to take a little break. Just try to get away. You know?
Just get away for a little
bit. Get away for a little bit.
Hmm. You're a maniac. What? Anyway, thank you so much for listening to our podcast. Max, thanks for putting this together. A lot of stories of people really porking it up, faking their own deaths.
Real handbags.
A lot of success, but mostly failures. So,
well, that's because, you know, if you do fake your death successfully, just nobody knows.
Oh, that's true.
That's the tricky part.
We don't know how many people are good at it.
Yeah.
Fair point. Anyway, we want to hear from you guys. How would you fake your own death? Why don't you tell us on social media? We are on Twitter and Instagram at PreDeadBoys. You can email us, predeadboys@gmail.com. You can also search Pre-Dead Boys Podcast on Facebook and find our Facebook group. Talk to us. Let us know what you think. And also, if you have any questions for us, for the Pre-Dead Boys to answer, we would love to answer with our doctorate wisdom any questions that you have about anything, any topic. All comers. We're ready. We're experts.
I finally bought a mailbag, so we can have like a little mailbag segment.
I see it. It's right here.
It's really nice.
Right here in the castle. I'm ready for it to be filled. Speaking of listener questions, though, we've got a couple more from Jacob, and they're actually pretty pertinent to the last topic of our podcast.
Oh.
Last week, when we talked about public executions.
Cool.
Right?
Yeah.
Jacob asks, if you were on death row, you got to pick one method of execution, which I don't think that's how it works.
Yeah.
Like, okay, you got to die. How do you want to do it? How do you want to express yourself? He asks us, what would you pick as your method of execution? Follow-up question, what would your last meal be?
Man, you just got to do like the... I don't know, they all seem terrible. Maybe you just like have someone shoot you in the face with a cannonball. It seems really just immediate. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like there's no chance of suffering, I guess.
Right. Well, I mean, I think you might feel something there. I'm not sure. I've never seen anyone get shot in the face with a cannonball before, so...
Like, it's really quick, and it's really big.
Yeah, that would be really incredible. The spectacle of that alone would be worth it.
Just like a big Wile E. Coyote boulder gets dropped on me. I'm in prison.
Yeah. What would you have as your last meal, then, right before you get your face shot off with a cannon?
I don't know. A good burrito? I don't know. I'm not a food guy.
You're not a food
guy.
No,
I'm not
guy.
A foodie, you know?
You're not a foodie?
Pizza or burrito or something like that.
Would you get a
Sheets? Yeah, a good gyro. Oh, Sheets.
Sheets one last time?
Sheets. Because then I wouldn't feel bad afterwards.
That's true. You'd be dead.
Yeah.
Just with you clapping and chanting Sheets, I instantly felt like I was in a car driving in a remote freeway and like you saw a sign for a Sheets.
That is what I do every time I see a Sheets.
I had a deep impulse in my heart to pull my car over. Even though I'm sitting here recording a podcast, I felt like I was in a car and had to pull over for a second.
Do you remember when we went to South Dakota and they had Taco John's?
Yes.
You know there's a Taco John's in like Marysville now?
Really?
Yeah, like 40 minutes north of here.
Wow, are they going to give Taco Bell a run for their money, start expanding eastward?
I was driving back from up north with my girlfriend and I saw it. And I freaked out and I demanded that she turn the car around so we could go, and she wouldn't go. And I was really cranky about it.
Fair enough.
It was like 9 a.m. It was really early.
I want breakfast. I want Taco John's.
They're tater tots and everything.
You know how I would want to die? I've said this to a few of my friends already.
Yeah, what'd you do?
I don't know if I would have the gall to do this, but I think the coolest possible way to die is to rip your own head off. Now, I don't think anybody has done it, to my knowledge, but could you imagine seeing a human being just go and like pull their own head off of their neck?
What's that Junji Ito comic you really like? The Enigma
Amigara Fault?
Yeah, it's like that, where his like neck is like super stretched out and about to pop off at the end.
Kind of, but I just imagine someone like
your bare hands
in a barbaric feat of strength and will just ripping their own head off. And you know, I don't want to die, but if someone's like, you have to die, then I would be like, all right, can I try it?
Can I do this?
Can I try it? If it doesn't work, you can guillotine me. I think guillotine would be, as far as actual documented methods of execution, I would want to be guillotined.
That might not be that bad.
Yeah, it probably would hurt, but and be really gross and terrifying to your loved ones. But
yeah.
Hey, being executed is not ideal. This is a bad situation.
Really no good way out.
We're trying to make the most out of this. Make lemons out of lemonade. Or wait, fuck.
Wait.
Well, that sufficiently answers that question. I'm an idiot. Thanks, Jacob. And again, send us any questions or comments that you have on the show. Also, if you want to leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or Stitcher, we will read what you write in this episode. Not in this episode.
No, we can't do that.
We'll read it on a future episode. Now, that's like if you want to throw a little promo in there or tell someone that you love them. Whatever you want to do, we have to read it. It's required by law.
I would like to be an unrequited crush message deliverer.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fun.
Wait, no. Unrequited is...
Yeah.
Well, is that not reciprocated? Because I don't want someone to do like weird stalker stuff.
Yeah, don't do creepy shit or we'll kick your ass off. But off, at, out, whatever.
Alf? Alf? Kick your ass. I'm going to kick your ass,
Alf. Kick your ass, Alf. Anyway, do that. Give us stuff to read on this show. We would love it. You can also tip us $3 at ko-fi.com/predeadboys. Also, just tell your friends about this podcast.
Yeah.
Spread the word. This shit's amazing. If I may say so myself.
Quote them and say that. Quote tweet that.
Yeah. You can say to your friend, hey, you should listen to the podcast, The Pre-Dead Boys.
The guys that do it think it's really good.
Yeah, the guys who do it said it's kick-ass. Our intro and outro music is the song About Time by Brat Curse. Check them out at bratcurse.bandcamp.com. They are very good. That's going to do it for us.
You want to go wander through a national park?
You're still on that. You still on the stick, man.
Yeah.
What's your plan for when we're out there? Is there something we're going to do or anything that we're going to see that's cool?
No. Yes. We'll see a cool thing.
Is it going to be me dying?
No, it would be like me disappearing or something at the very least.
Okay,
I'm not threatening you.
You're trying to fake your own death.
Threatening myself, yeah.
Oh, but if I go with you, then I'll be a witness.
Not if we both go. So here's my thought. We can't continue the podcast if just I disappear.
Right.
But if you and I both disappear,
then we continue the podcast and say that we are ghosts.
That's it. Ghost podcast.
That's right. Thank you so much for listening. Max and Dorian here reminding you, you're going to rock. Probably gonna have a lot of yawns.
Sleep like more.
Oxygen deprived today. Shut the fuck up out there.
Hey, I'm recording here. Whoa.
Hey, you recording.
I'm not used to like opening the blinds and it being light.
Yeah, it's not nighttime yet.
It's really nice of the city of Columbus to put large metal plates directly outside my window.
Yeah, where we record a podcast. Did you not get the city of Columbus to respect our wishes and zone this as a podcast only space?
there's
retail, there's residential, there's commercial, and then there's podcasting land. We've reserved podcasting land for the Pre-Dead Boys Castle.
Do you you know that one day when it was like super cold or super snowy? I got called into work late. I didn't have to go until noon.
Okay.
So I was like, oh, I'm going to get to sleep in. And then immediately they started digging up my whole street at like 8 a.m.
Just jackhammering it so it can get to the point now where it's just perpetually spraying water all over the street.
Yeah.
Good job.
So goofy, man.
Great work, City of Columbus. All right. I should read shit, huh?